Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win!
Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. A Thursday edition of the program live and underway from the Big X Studios in Jeffersonville. Glad to have you with us. We do this program each weekday at 11 a.m., offering coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and, of course, sports from a Southern Indiana perspective. And we're glad to have you with us. If you can't ever make the live show at 11, we do have our show available each day as a podcast on Apple Podcast and on SoundCloud, and to be quite honest, on many platforms that you might look up your favorite podcast. You'll find the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Let's jump into today's show. Boy, there's a lot of stuff out there. I wish that we had some good sports news to talk about, some good performances to talk about, and I guess we're going to touch on Romeo Langford. He got some minutes last night. He's hopeful that he's going to work into some more time for the Celtics, so that's positive, and the fact that we've got some pro sports going on right now is really positive. But a lot of our news, a lot of our talking points, a lot of the things that I hear from you, the listener, on with your questions have to do with what's going to happen with some of the upcoming college. And we get a lot of high school questions as well. I know we have a lot of listeners that like their local high school sports, cheer for their favorite local school. And so we'll cover a lot of that stuff. And unfortunately, I think we're going to have to continue to cover a lot of that sort of stuff in future days, because a lot of question marks right now on exactly what college and high school sports are going to look like. I feel like we've been saying this now for months. We have, going all the way back to March when basketball and the state tournament was canceled. But this is a new year, a new school year. This is a new season, a new seasons of different sports. And we're a lot more knowledgeable, although there's still a lot of unknown about COVID-19. We're a lot more as a society. I think our health leaders, hospitals, may be more prepared, at least as we stand now, to battle this thing, which can be maybe help us get back into some sports. But we'll cover all of that and more today, and glad that you're with us and hope that you're able to be with us each and every day. Let's take a look at today's show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we have our Zaxby's headlines. A lot of things to cover today. Indiana yesterday with a big announcement, and we're going to talk more about this later in the show as well, but Indiana has signed a deal with a company that is going to help student athletes prepare for the upcoming name, image, and likeness rights that we believe are coming to college sports. And this is a big deal. You may not know exactly what it means. I've read up a little bit on it since this was announced yesterday. But I think this is a very forward-thinking, very aggressive decision by Indiana that can pay big dividends with their recruiting and with the brand that IU basketball specifically and Assembly Hall and the crowds that the program has, the history it has, can pay big dividends for IU sports and IU basketball and that program moving forward. So we'll talk about that in the headlines today. We'll talk a little bit about some early college basketball favorites to win the national championship. As far as where the Big Ten Conference stands, we'll cover that coming up here in just a few moments. Also, interesting development with some of these player groups. Yesterday we told you about a group contacting the Big Ten, over 1,000 representatives of players from the conference with basically some demands, some very reasonable, some maybe not so reasonable, for the Big Ten and the schools making up the Big Ten. And there's the Pac-12 has had something similar. That came earlier in the week, maybe even late last week, and there's some developments with that as well, well, kind of unprecedented developments, and we'll cover that today in our headlines. Also, some high school news. As always, the IHSA has released a resource center online for coaches and media and even fans to take a look at. It has a lot of information there, including some thoughts on attendance at high school sporting events, including football. We'll cover that, some other high school notes. We'll talk about Romeo Langford getting some clock last night, and more in our headlines brought to you each day by Zaxby's. Later in the show, we'll be joined on this Thursday, as always, by Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. We'll talk IU basketball. We'll talk this new name, image, and likeness agreement that IU has with Open Doors and exactly what that is, what it means. We'll break that down with Alex and why it could be good for IU athletics, specifically the men's basketball program, in the future as well, and to get into some recruiting with Alex when he joins us also. And then later in the show, as long as it gets done with practice in time, we're going to talk with Coach James Bragg. He's the coach at Floyd Central, football coach, and of course the Highlanders are gearing up for a what we think will be a big season for Floyd Central. They are, in my opinion, far and away the front runner in our local area as far as opportunities to have a big season in high school football. And Coach Bragg will join us a little bit later in the show today to talk about his Highlander team for this year. That's the show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Make sure to check out your local Honey Baked Ham store in New Albany and see their dinner package deals that are now being offered. You can dine in, pickup is available, and curbside service also available at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. And Indiana, the athletic department, kudos to Scott Dolson. I'm sure that Fred Glass, before he exited his job into the retirement world, was involved in this as well. But Indiana getting the jump, one of a few Division I athletic programs that has made any sort of agreement or announcement like this so far. But you can bet that many, many more, if not all, will at some point in the near future. But Indiana has signed a contract with a company called Open Doors, OpenDorse. It's called Open Doors Ready. And this will assist student-athletes in preparing for the coming changes to the NCAA when it comes to their name, their image, and their likeness rights. That's been a big discussion in recent years surrounding college sports, and Indiana has actually agreed with a company, or hired a company, you could say, to help manage this for its student-athletes. The company, the release, I should say, announcing the agreement with Open Doors Ready, it says, with experience, quoting here, with experience maximizing endorsement value for thousands of professional athletes since 2012, Open Doors has established the Ready program to apply its proven social media solutions to prepare student athletes for coming changes to name, image, and likeness rights. The NLI rights movement opens the door for IU Athletics to provide the students in our program with life skills that will prove valuable well beyond their time on campus, said Indiana Athletics Director Scott Dolson. He continued to say, when these changes come, we have to be prepared to educate and assist our student athletes with the best possible resources. And a little bit of research on this Open Doors Ready program tells you that this is a company that has been handling name, image, and likeness building and brand building for professional athletes for a number of years. Archie Miller was quoted in the release yesterday saying, Hoosiers basketball is backed by some of the most passionate fans in college sports. It's my belief that our tradition and fan base will set Indiana apart as a name, image, and likeness leader, helping our student-athletes to establish some of the most valuable personal brands in college sports. I'm very proud of this university for leading on NIL rights and providing the athletes in our program with the tools needed to find success beyond the court. Again, there's a lot to this, and I know some of you are probably like, what exactly does that mean? What is Open Doors? Maybe you're Googling it to try to find out. We'll tell you more and talk with Alex Bozich about this in the next segment. Also, as far as college basketball favorites go, Indiana, a 40-1 chance to win the 2020 National Championship, according to Bet Online, a website that released its updated National Championship odds yesterday. Leading the Big Ten, Iowa, a 15-2 chance. Illinois and Michigan State and Wisconsin would be next with 16-1 odds, all three of those teams to win a national championship. Villanova has the best odds right now, the shortest odds you could say to win the title, at 7-1, Baylor 8-1, Gonzaga 9-1, Virginia 10-1, Kansas and Kentucky 12-1, and Duke 14-1. Of course, Indiana at 40-1. They're maybe midway through the Big Ten. I think they were right in the middle as far as if you're looking at the projected odds to win a national championship for a Big Ten team this coming season. Also, this is kind of unprecedented. It doesn't involve the Big Ten, but it could very soon because the Pac-12, who also had some players band together with demands for the Pac-12, for the commissioner, for the schools that make up the conference, on what they'd like to see with football, and I think it included all fall sports, but Pac-12 commissioner, Pac-12 leaders, they've agreed to schedule a call with this group of conference players that basically were threatening to boycott the 2020 season if many of these or most of these or all of these demands in their letter was not are not met. And so there's the thought that tonight there is going to be a Zoom call at 8 o'clock Pacific time to discuss some of these athletes' demand, which they put over the weekend. They released in the Players Tribune. It was picked up by other media outlets as well. But this is interesting. This is almost like bargaining, and I'm pretty sure it's illegal for players or schools, conferences to bargain with any sort of unit at the college level. But I guess it's different times, and I guess this is surrounding a health situation. But that's that looks like where we're headed. A little bit of bargaining maybe tonight between the Pac-12 and some of the players and the leaders that have banded together to make some demands for the upcoming season as well. A number of high school notes to cover in our Zaxby's headlines today. The IHSAA sent out a very thorough, what they're calling COVID-19 Resource Center. You can find it online at IHSAA.org. It's open to all coaches. It's open to all media, fans. Anyone can log on and read it. But it starts with a letter that gives some background and supports extracurricular activities and tells why it is important that they exist in this format, even if schools are not in in-person traditional learning situations. And then it goes on to give every sort of recommendation that you can imagine for officials as far as considerations for them as they return to officiating, even game ball cleaning recommendations for coaches and practices and workouts right now, how you should clean your equipment, how you should clean your game balls. And then it gives specific sport guidelines as well. Right now, the sports are obviously fall sports, golf, tennis, cross country, soccer, volleyball, and of course, football, the big one. But sport by sport recommendations, you can click and download the different, and again, some of them are very wide ranging, especially in a contact sport like football, for what they recommend should happen and how it should look. That you can find those on the on this resource center. And then there are a number of links to the State Health Department, the Department of Education, the National Federation of State High School Associations, with all sorts of information about what this season could look like, how to handle health-related things. And then the best part to me was just a general Q&A that the IHSA put up about how to handle canceled contests. What about masks or neck gaiters as opposed to the traditional face mask? Will they be allowed? What does a school do with concessions? Can they sell concessions at their home games this fall season? And the big one on there, spectator seating. And I'm going to read a little bit from their recommendations here. The question and answer for this one is, will spectators be allowed to attend sporting events? And the answer to this question is pretty standard with about everything the IHSA has said, even state government has said about high school sports this fall. The answer from reading here from the Q&A, yes, but it will be at the discretion of the host school with guidance from local health officials and in accordance with the governor's back on track stage 4.5. If spectators are in a bleacher setting, now this is the IHSA, the school locally, your school system, your high school, they could set their own more strict requirements than this. They could ban fans altogether. But if spectators will be allowed in a bleacher setting, the IHSA Q&A says, A, family units may sit together but using 6 feet of social distancing between another family unit. So one family could crowd together, the next family unit, there would need to be at least 6 feet between. On a set of bleachers, there should be no more than 50% capacity with a maximum of 250 people, which is currently the regulation, I believe, in 4.5, the governor's recommendations or the governor's rules, basically, from the state. Number C, or letter C, if a stadium has multiple individual sets of bleachers, each separate area can be seen as a separate unit. So that would mean you could fit 250 if the bleacher in the 50% capacity would fit that in multiple sets of units of bleachers. It wouldn't mean that you could have 250 total, and that would be the max. At least that's how I read it. It goes on to say, however, an important part of each segment is each segment must have separated designated entrances and separated designated restroom facilities in order to not exceed a total of 250 people total. So that's where you could come into problems. Even if a school has ample bleacher seating, a number of units of bleachers, if they only have one or two bathroom settings, that could really limit then how many of those sets of bleachers you can use, which again, how many total people you could use in allow into the arena. It also says schools might be able to accomplish this by having staggered arrival times if multiple entrances are not available. So maybe you got to get there early if you're a visiting team. Maybe you got to get there, two or three different arrival times where they will allow you to come in the gate if you're depending on what your ticket says. There could be a number of ways that could be accomplished. It goes on to say the bottom line is, they must do something to avoid people congregating or getting in line for restrooms and concessions and things like that. And then letter D says, with large events, schools should work with and have the approval of the local health department. And I can assure you that most schools are going to float or have already been floating all of their school plans to their local health departments for guidance there. A couple other headlines. As other states, Colorado, Minnesota, recently have announced that football is going to go to the fall, or to the spring rather, be moved from the fall of 2020 to the spring of 2021. I've been curious, what are some of the top players in those states doing? And I read a story on Rivals yesterday that four-star quarterback from Kansas, that lives in Colorado, who is a Kansas State commit, he is going to transfer to a high school in Iowa where he'll be able to play in the spring. A three-star quarterback in Colorado who's a Colorado State commit, he's going to find a new state to play fall football. So you're going to see players transferring around, which means if, say, JCPS does not play football across the river, could there be some transfers in for players that want to get a football season in, and will that be allowed? But a number of players, a Florida commit, a big-time player named Kamar Wilcoxon, he's reclassified. He's going to join the Florida program early. You're going to see, I think, players graduate early. You're going to see some players try to move from state to state so they can keep their season for the upcoming year. Again, when we talk about wild and wacky high school season ahead, not just from a health perspective, but transfers and people leaving their program early if they're not getting the chance to play traditional fall football, there are going to be a lot of very interesting situations come up between now, the start of the season, and, of course, the start and the ending of the season. I think we're already bracing for a lot of changes, delays, cancellations. It's going to look different for fans if fans are allowed in specific schools. It's going to be a lot to stay on top of with this upcoming year. Let's look at some good news. Last night, Romeo Langford for the Celtics, he logged 26 minutes. That's his third most in his rookie season. He had 4 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 blocks, and was plus 27 in the plus-minus system as the Celtics won easy 149-115 last night. Probably the best thing I saw on Romeo was a quote from Brad Stevens. Coach Stevens said after the game, quote, he's one of our more solid defenders. That's going to give him a chance to play, especially with the way we played the first couple of weeks. So good news for Romeo Langford, at least last night, playing for the Celtics. That's a look at our Zaxby's headlines for this Thursday edition of the program. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll be back to talk about IU. Big announcement yesterday on name, image, and likeness for their athletes coming very soon, a program they've signed up for. Also, we'll talk IU basketball and more. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And welcome back on this Thursday show. You know, we always have Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall with us as we talk lots of IU basketball. But today, Alex, I want to start with something that I think is very interesting and very forward-thinking from the IU athletics staff in Bloomington. But yesterday they announced an agreement to join Open Doors Ready, a program that will assist their student-athletes in the future preparing for the name, image, and likeness rights changes that are coming to college sports. And at first you read it and maybe someone doesn't understand exactly how this could help IU or help recruiting or help the basketball program win additional games. But with a program like Indiana, with an unbelievable support from donors to crowds at Assembly Hall and the tradition that specifically the basketball program has, when it comes time to recruit and name, image, and likeness changes are official and something happening in college sports, this could give Indiana, I think, a big boost when they start contacting some of the nation's top players when we get to that point.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think it's another example of IU trying to be proactive and get out ahead of something that's obviously going to be a major change in college sports. And then this partnership is exactly that. Matt, about an hour ago, I just got off of there was a teleconference with Indiana AD Scott Dolson, and he was talking a lot about the football restart and COVID-19 and all that. But you know, I snuck in a question just to ask him about this partnership because I felt like it was a pretty important thing going forward, and he was excited to talk about it and said that, you know, while their primary focus right now is obviously the safety and COVID-19 protocol for all the student athletes and all the sports, that it was something that they wanted to let people know that they were being proactive on and kind of trying to get ahead of, because I think as this comes closer to being a reality in college sports, that athletes are going to have, you know, the right to profit off their name, image, and likeness. They're gonna look at which schools provide them the best tools, and Indiana is trying to be a leader in the space, and I think that can only help them with recruiting. And specific to basketball at IU, I think there's a unique opportunity there to capitalize for certain guys, you know, depending on kind of their you know, their visibility and how well-known they are. You know, you think back to a couple of years ago with a guy like Romeo Langford, if there was an opportunity for him to capitalize off name, image, and likeness while he was at IU, I think that could have been a tremendous, you know, bonus for him. And I think it's going to continue in the future when other prominent recruits from the state come through the ranks and they look at their options at different places. I think back to a guy like Jordan Holes being from Bloomington and kind of what he could have done with something like this. So I think ultimately it's going to be a positive for IU. I think it's going to take some adjustment for fans and everybody who follow the sports at the level, you know, at the highest levels to get used to, because you might see things like commercial, branded social media posts, things like that with college athletes. We're not going to be used to seeing that, but ultimately, I think anything that kind of enriches the student-athlete experience and gives them an opportunity to kind of, you know, make some extra money and kind of, you know, reap the rewards of their hard work, I think is going to be a positive. And I think it's a credit to IU that they're being proactive with this, making it a priority.
I wanted to talk some examples of exactly how a player could benefit in college sports with their name, image, and likeness. And I think that TV commercials obviously are something that we'll see. I mean, can you imagine watching March Madness and go to commercial break and whoever's had the great season that year featured in a commercial, just like you might see some of the big-time coaches in college basketball. But social media, we talk a lot every day on this show. I read this on Twitter. Alex Bozich said this on Twitter about IU basketball. Just it's become part of our fabric, especially in media, how we cover things, how we report things. building a brand. It's important to people like you and I to get our content, our podcast, your written stories out to followers of your website, IU basketball fans, players, especially IU players and players at schools where basketball has a great following. Louisville and Kentucky are other great examples. They have unbelievable social media followers, whether that be on Instagram or Twitter or other accounts as well. And you said branded social media posts, and that is an easy way, I think, that we'll see some college athletes benefit from this, because basically, and you can follow this up with maybe a better description, but an athlete will be able to make a tweet or a post or put a picture up on behalf of a brand, tagging that brand in the photo, and they will receive some compensation for that because they're going to have big followings, lots of followers on their account, and they're going to be very well respected, very well known in their area, in their university, in their state.
Yeah, and the avenues that they're going to have to do that are going to be there's going to be many. I mean, obviously there's Facebook, there's Instagram, Snapchat, TikTok, all these things. The other thing that kind of immediately comes to mind is, you know, things like YouTube channels, right? There's a lot of people who make a living off having a YouTube channel. And, you know, think about, you know, if when Zion was in his 1 year at Duke, if he could have had a YouTube channel where he posted a couple weekly videos just kind of recapping the week and kind of behind the scenes look, how much, how many views he would have got, how much revenue that could have been for him. That signing autographs, being able to charge for that, I think that's another thing that, you know, is going to be available potentially to some of the higher tier, higher name athletes. That's something they're going to be able to do. I mean, there's just so many different things. I mean, I think the thing to kind of keep in mind is, you know, this maybe only affects, what, the top 1 or 2% of athletes. I mean, it's obviously going to be available for everybody, but I'm not sure that, you know, the 13th man on IU basketball is going to have much of a, you know, a market to be able to do branded social media. I mean, there may be some opportunities, but I think ultimately, you know, anything that these guys can do, and especially the guys who are kind of the headliners and are bringing in the eyeballs, I think to give them that opportunity, I think is only fair. And so it's going to be fun to watch. And you know, I think at IU there's a unique opportunity because the state is so tied in and loves the basketball program that if you're a prominent IU basketball player, you're going to have opportunities, you know, to kind of have maybe your pick of things in terms of what you want to promote and put your name on and do things like that. I guess the only thing that would concern me, kind of looking at this from a high level perspective, is what will happen in terms of regulation. Is there going to be limits on what you can do? You know, obviously, that probably don't want guys working with 25 or 30 companies simultaneously, things like that. So we'll see how it all develops, but it's obviously still all in its early stages. I'm just glad to see IU being proactive, because I think in the long run it can really help them from a recruiting perspective.
Yeah, no question. This could be big stuff, and this is something that I think not just with IU but college sports will be spending a lot of time talking about as we move toward this in the near future. Switching gears, though, Athletic Director Scott Dolson did speak to the media earlier, and a lot of it was football. Obviously, health and safety's first, he said, when it comes to football, attendance, what it could look like, things like that. But he did get to some basketball stuff with somewhat of a timeline for the basketball season. You can watch the full video. It was about 30 minutes or so on Alex's site at InsideTheHall.com. But tell us what Athletic Director Dolson had to say today about basketball.
Yeah, I mean, he said basically at this point it's something they've talked about and continue to talk about, but right now the immediate focus is on football. And I think wisely he avoided kind of putting himself in, you know, in one particular opinion on what can happen months down the road. The interesting thing, you know, over the weekend we saw Dan Gavitt, who runs the NCAA tournament for the NCAA, kind of put out there, you know, September is kind of the month where he thinks that, you know, they're going to have to start making some decisions on what a college basketball season looks like. But, you know, Dolson acknowledged that they're talking about it, that it's on their radar. But right now, he said with the virus and how quickly things change, they can't really do anything beyond going, day to day with this stuff. So, you know, Matt, you know, we worried, I think, both of us when all this hit, and we talked several times about, you know, what are we going to talk about for the next 5 months? What are we going to talk about for the next year if there's no sports? And it seems like there's been things happening constantly every day with how things are changing. And I think one of the more important things that we're going to be covering now over the next couple months, I mean, basketball season is a little more than 3 months away from starting, the original start date. We have no idea if it's going to start on time. We have no idea if it's going to start in January. We have no idea if there's going to be a season at all. But I'm going to be keeping an eye on closely fall sports with the NCAA, football in particular, how it plays out. Are they able to figure it out and play it somewhat safely? There's never going to be a situation where until we have vaccines and treatments and things that where we can kind of put this virus to bed and not have to worry about it anymore. There's never going to be a perfect scenario where you're not going to have positive tests and you're not going to have risk involved. I think the most important thing moving forward is to try to do this all as safely as possible. And from basketball's perspective, they're kind of in an advantageous position compared to some of these other fall sports, because they're going to have time to see how some of these plans work, what doesn't work, and then kind of adjust accordingly. But Dolson obviously realizes how important basketball is at Indiana. I mean, it's the prime sport in the athletic department. It's what people care about the most, and it's on the radar. But right now, it's just kind of getting through the day-to-day, figuring out what's going to happen next with football. Obviously, the schedule was released earlier this week, and I'm sure you've talked about that a lot on the show, Matt, but I think the next kind of thing we have to watch for is, does the season start on time, and what does it look like?
Yeah, no question. Alex Bozich inside the hall, my guest. Alex, let's close with this. I know a lot of us IU fans, Southern Indiana people, New Albany supporters, keep a real close eye on Romeo Langford, and we're hopeful that with the NBA restart, he got some time in the scrimmages, that he could find a real role on the Celtics team coached by Brad Stevens. And it's kind of been awkward. He had some plenty of time, as you would expect, in the scrimmages, and did some good things, and then went a couple games to start the restart, the official games that count, and really didn't get any clock. In fact, one game, I didn't even see him around the bench, and then all of a sudden, he's back in the lineup last night. He got a lot of minutes. He was very positive as far as what he was able to do. Yeah, he didn't score a lot of points, but he did this, he did that. He had a high plus-minus in the plus side of things for the Celtics last night. Drew some really good comments about his defense from Brad Stevens, and it seems like there's a plan for him. Even as the regular season winds down here over the next week and a half or so, there seems to be a plan for him to get minutes for this Boston team in the playoffs.
Yeah, I watched pretty good amount of that game last night. It still is hard for me to watch him barely touching the ball offensively, just knowing how gifted of a player he is. But he's a rookie. He's going to have to earn any touches that he gets. And I've been really impressed with how he's just kind of accepted his role and made it a point to be the best player defensively that he could be. He's just really disruptive out there. It's been impressive to see a rookie defend at that level. And another thing, when I don't know if you've watched many of the games, Matt, but it's interesting how they have the benches set up and guys have assigned seats over there. So I've been watching Romeo a lot over on the bench, and he's actually been standing up and been pretty demonstrative at times over there, cheering for his teammates. There's a couple guys I think that aren't getting the chance to play at all, but I think in Taco Fall and Tremont Waters that are kind of seated over there near where he sits, but he's getting an opportunity to get out there. I don't think he's ever going to get many shots. Just kind of watching Gordon Hayward and Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, all-star level type players. Those guys are going to get the majority of the looks and the opportunities from the wing position. But I think Romeo is doing a pretty good job of carving out a role for himself. And it starts with defense. And I think if he can continue to make an impact there, he's going to find his way on the court come playoff time.
Absolutely. Alex Bozich inside the hall. My guest, Alex, is always with us Thursdays as we talk IU basketball. Alex, thank you for your time.
Absolutely, Matt. Have a good one.
Absolutely. We'll head to a commercial break, come back with Floyd Central football coach James Bragg. We're going to talk a little bit about the Highlanders, who are projected to have a really good season, and what some of these early football practices this week have been like for the Highlanders. That comes your way next. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach, who got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Thursday program. Coach Bragg in practice, we've not been able to connect with him. He was supposed to join us in this final segment on our Thursday program. So if we get him, we'll bring him on. And if not, we'll catch up with him very soon. But I do think it's appropriate to start looking at the high school football schedule for the upcoming season. Of course, the opening week of play is set to be Friday, August 21st. And the week before that, August 14th on Friday, is when a lot of schools will have scrimmages. Now, it will be interesting to see if scrimmages are canceled, if some schools back out because it's really not a necessity, or if it is something that schools go ahead with so you get that extra practice. And to be honest, you get hit and get ready for the season. That's part of preparing, especially in the sport of football, with so much contact. But a look at the schedule on that opening Friday night. We're hoping we get to this. We think we're going to get to this unless something major changes here in the state or some local schools begin to pull out. But Bloomington South will be at New Albany on the opening football Friday here in Southern Indiana, Scottsburg at Clarksville, Oldenburg Academy at Rock Creek. And a couple interesting things: the big game headlining week one wasn't a game that was supposed to be played in the opening week of the season. It was supposed to be played a little later in the year, and that's Jeffersonville going to Floyd Central. That game was scheduled for later in the season, but Jeffersonville lost Fern Creek, a Louisville opponent who has had its season, at least for now, bumped back considerably. And Floyd Central was supposed to take on Mayo, a home game for the Highlanders, against the powerhouse team from over in Louisville. Obviously, their season has currently been bumped back. Who knows exactly what high school football with Louisville Public Schools is going to look like this year. So out of those cancellations, we get a big rivalry game right out of the gate. And I'm a fan of it. I missed the New Albany and Providence game out of the gate. I think that was a good one that got fans excited. Of course, who knows how many fans will be allowed at games this season. But Jeff and Floyd, it's a big rivalry between the kids. It's a Hoosier Hills Conference game. And also, by playing it early, you get it in case there's a problem down the line where a team is unable to play or a team decides to pull out because of health concerns. You get an important game in, which is important for those two schools and obviously for the athletes as well. So that game will headline things. The other interesting note, a couple other notes really, Providence is scheduled to host Bethlehem from Bardstown area of Kentucky. And of course, right now, that season in Kentucky, they've been bumped back considerably a number of weeks. And so whether the Pioneers get a week one game, it won't be against their scheduled opponent from Kentucky. Who can they pick up? Who can they find? Will there be additional schedule adjustments? Will somebody else drop locally or in Southern Indiana that the Pioneers can swap with or pick up as the season draws near? But as of now, unless there's something out there that we don't know about, Providence, their week one game would be off as things stand right now. And then Silver Creek and Charlestown, that's been a great game to open up the season. In fact, we've seen it a rematch of that game in the sectional a little bit later in the year with even higher stakes on the line. That game has been moved to Saturday, August 22nd. Now, I don't know if that's because of officials or because of any other concern, but that opening week will kind of get a Friday-Saturday doubleheader, you could say, because there'll be lots of action scheduled right now for Friday. And, of course, the Floyd Central-Jeff game will be the headline game in that evening. And then Silver Creek at Charlestown will be the Saturday game of interest. And who knows, we could see a lot of things moved around. We could see other games on Saturday also. But that's how things look in high school football right now for the opening week. Obviously, we expect changes. It would not surprise me if there were changes between now and the start of the season, if a school decided to not play, if a team unfortunately had some sort of outbreak or something, or a school perhaps had an outbreak where they decided to put a hold or a pause on fall sports, even a cancellation on fall sports. But that's what things look like for week one. And I sure hope, like I know many of you listening today, when we get to that Friday, August 21st, we've got that Jeffersonville at Floyd Central game to look forward to, and that we've got area football games and really games across the state to pay attention to. A number of schools up north, Hammond schools, I mentioned that earlier in the week, they have put a pause on their season, actually a cancellation on their season after recent school board meetings. And let's hope that locally we're able to get some football in. But it is going to be touch and go. It's going to be different. We know the fans could look different from school to school. Some could allow a limited number of fans. Others could choose at their home games to not allow fans. But there are definitely going to be some interesting things that you probably never thought you would see in high school sports, specifically in a sport like football, where things could maybe even change the week of or even hours before kickoff. Who exactly knows? But we're in for some firsts this year. We've already experienced some, and I think it's safe to say that there are more coming. That's going to wrap things up for this Thursday edition of the program. Back with you Friday for a final day of the week. We'll be joined by Dylan Wallace of Sports Illustrated, the Indiana site. We'll also be joined on Friday by Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star. And we'll catch up with Coach Bragg sometime soon. I guess he was coming right out of football practice into our interview today, and so we'll have to catch him again soon on the program. That wraps things up for today. Don't forget to check out the podcast on Apple Podcasts. Just search for the Hoosier Report, and we'll catch you tomorrow right here on the Big X.